you this afternoon to take your Bibles with us and turn over, if you would, to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. And if you've been here on Sunday evenings, over the last several weeks, we have started a new series looking at truths from James, or journeys through James, or looking at some things I believe would be a help to us from the book of James, what has been referred to many times as the Proverbs of the New Testament, and it's rightfully referred to such as so, because there's a lot of wisdom found in the book of James for the Christian. And this afternoon, want us to see something else that will hopefully, Lord willing, be a help to us, and kind of piggybacks off of this past Wednesday night's Bible study. Of course, on Wednesday nights, we're going through a series on how to study the Bible. And this past Wednesday night, we asked the question, well, what's the point? Why do we study the Bible? And this morning, I want us to see a little bit more about why we ought to study the Bible here from the book of James. So you're there, James chapter 1. And I would invite you to notice there verse number 22. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. The Bible there says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." For a few moments this afternoon, I'd like to preach you on this thought, this way for help. This way for help. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for the good day you've given us, both this morning service and the fellowship lunch. And now, Lord, as we close out the day with this, our afternoon service. And Father, we just pray this afternoon that everything that has been said and done will be to your honor and your glory. We pray now, Lord, that this message will be a help, a challenge, an encouragement to these, your people. And Father, I pray this afternoon you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. And Father, just give me the words you'd have me to say and help me to refrain from those things which need not be said. And the Lord, for all that you'll do, we'll love you and thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, "For the word of God is quick." That means that it's alive. "It's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." There's no doubt this afternoon that as we think about the Bible, we can say about the Bible and about the Word of God that the Bible can help us, if we allow it, to avoid the pitfalls and the dangers of life. And you know, sometimes we study as we're reading the Bible and we get into certain books of the Bible or certain passages, and oftentimes, the way we study is we study to satisfy our curiosity. Sometimes we read something and it piques our interest, it piques some thoughts in us, and we want to know more about that, and rightfully so, because that's what the Bible should do. As we're reading it, it should give us thoughts that provoke us and should give us ideas and give us, well, hey, I want to know more about that, or I want to know what the Bible is saying here. And so we study to satisfy curiosity. Sometimes we watch the Bible or we study to watch others, or sometimes we study the Bible just to argue. We read it and we come to a conclusion about something, and we use it just to argue. And that begs the question then, well, why should we study the Bible? What is the correct reason for studying God's Word? Well, I want to give us several thoughts this afternoon on why we ought to study the Bible. Number one, we ought to study the Bible to know more of God. We ought to study the Bible to know more of God. You know, it's through Jesus that you and I became a child of God, that you and I came to know God the Heavenly Father through the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's through Him that we become a member of that heavenly royal family. And we know this afternoon that from the Bible, what He did in times past and in olden times and in old days and years ago and in Bible times, well, we know that it's exactly what He's doing even today. We know that the same God that worked for their good and His glory in the Bible is the same God that today He's working for your good and His glory even today. And as we read the Bible, we learn about God's hatred for sin. We learn about God's concern for all men everywhere. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, not willing that any should perish. We see it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we're faithful, or if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Bible shows us so much about God. It shows us His hatred for sin. It shows us His concern for men everywhere. It shows us just how He expects us to live. And so as we're reading our Bibles from Genesis to Revelation, we ought to read our Bibles with the intent to know more of God. And you know, sometimes we say, well, how can I know more about God? And the truth is, we learn more about God. And listen, I have in my library of books, I have a lot of books. I have a lot of commentaries. I have a lot of devotionals. I have a lot of study helps. I have on my computer, I have at least six Bible programs that I reference quite regularly. But here's the truth this afternoon. Those commentaries, those devotionals, those computer programs, those study helps, those concordances, those dictionaries, all of those tools are just that. They're tools. They're supplements, if you will. And all of them, just this past week, and I understand what he was saying, but he could have maybe worded it a little bit better. And we're all guilty of that sometimes, where we say one thing, but we mean something else. And so we're all guilty of wanting to say one thing, but it coming out another way. And Ben Carson, he was giving an interview, and he was talking about the U.S. Constitution. And he said that the U.S. Constitution was inspired by God. Now, I understand what he meant by that. That it's a very important document. It's a very cherished document. It's a very valuable document, and we ought to cherish it and value it and adhere to it and all the rest. But I thought about that as I was preparing these messages, and how I had those commentaries. And it reminded me that those commentaries are not inspired. Those devotionals are not inspired. Those study tools are not inspired. Those Bible programs on my computer, they're not inspired. But God's Word is inspired. And if we want to know more about God, if you never have access to a commentary, if you never have access to a study program, if you never have access to a study Bible, If all you have is a Bible with the text of the Word of God, and that's what this Bible is, it's just a text. I don't have any references. I don't have any study notes. I don't have anything of that nature in this Bible. It's just the pure text of the Bible. That's it. And if that's all you have is your Bible, then you can learn about God. You can know about God, and you can know more about God the more that you read Him. Because here's a, I guess you can call it a hack, if you want to call it that. But you say, how do I define the Bible? Well, the Bible defines the Bible. That's something we learned very early on in our training. The Bible defines the Bible. So even if you didn't have any of those study tools, if you want to know what the Bible's talking about, all you have to do, and granted, it's a little more work, it's a little more in-depth, but you can know what the Bible's saying because the Bible defines itself. And so we ought to study God's Word this afternoon to know more of God. Then secondly, this afternoon, we ought to study God's Word to know more of God's plan for our life. And I want you to know this afternoon that it doesn't matter how young you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter where you are, what stage of life you're in, God has a plan for your life. Just as He had a plan for Moses, just as He had a plan for Paul, just as He had a plan for Abram, who became Abraham, and Sarai, who became Sarah, just as He had a plan for His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God has a plan for your life. But the truth is, this afternoon, the Bible tells us, Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. And now we use that verse in talking about the right to life and all of that, and that certainly has a context there and a application there. But God has plans for you. He has a plan for your life, and success of that plan will depend on whether or not you follow His plan. I need to encourage you. Don't become a Jonah. You know, sometimes we do, don't we? God calls us to do something. God calls us someplace. And sometimes, and for a number of reasons, instead of going and doing what God called us to do, we run away from God's plan for our life. And I will guarantee you this afternoon that if you run away from God's plan for your life, you will be miserable. You will be. You know, if I thought there was anything else that I could do in life besides be a pastor, trust me, I would do it in a heartbeat. But I can't, because this is God's calling on my life. I thought I wanted to be a lawyer because I like to argue, I like to debate, and so I thought, man, that would be perfect for a lawyer. Be a lawyer, and you know, I grew up watching and reading law and reading law books and actual law books and then actual fictional law stories, and big fan of Law and Order, and I'm not a fan of Law and Order for the cop scenes. I'm a Law and Order fan for the courtroom scenes. I love the courtroom scenes, courtroom movies, all that, and because I wanted to be a lawyer growing up, but that wasn't God's plan. One time I thought I wanted to do something in computers, but that wasn't the Lord's plan for my life. And my pastor once said this about being a pastor, that if you ever could be happy doing something else, then don't be a pastor. Because if you're not happy being a pastor, then you're not going to give your all. You're not going to give everything you have towards that. But we need to follow His plan for our life. And God's Word will reveal that plan to us. You know, not selfishness. You know, sometimes, you know, we think, especially with our kids and grandkids and everything else, you know, we think, some families, they push their kids to be doctors and lawyers and everything else. And listen, there's nothing wrong with being a doctor or a lawyer or whatever the case may be. But, you know, maybe that kid's going to grow up and, you know, he wants to be a pastor. Well, encourage that. Maybe they want to be a missionary. Encourage that. Maybe they want to, go to a trade school and become a carpenter or an electrician or something, you know, like that, you know. And maybe that's God's plan for their life. And we need to say, okay, if that's God's plan for their life, we're going to support that. And the same is true with us. You know, sometimes in our selfishness, you know, we run away from God's plan because, you know, we think he wants you to be a pastor or a missionary, or he wants you to go into this field. And you say, oh, no, I don't want to go into that field. I don't want to do that. I want to go over here because, I want to be a big success, or I want to make a lot of money. Again, nothing wrong with being a success or making a lot of money. But listen, if it's not God's will, you could have all the money in the world and be miserable. If it's not God's will. And listen, there is no safer place than right in the middle of God's will. And so we need to allow God's word to reveal what his plan is for our life, and not our own selfishness. And then number three, we see this afternoon, we ought to study God's word to avoid the pitfalls of life. To avoid the pitfalls of life. The Bible tells us to love not the world. To love not the world. Now listen, it goes on, neither the things of this world. Now, you've heard me say many times, that verse does not say that you cannot have hobbies. That verse does not say you cannot have enjoyments. Because by all means, you can have hobbies, you can have enjoyments, you can have things that bring you happiness. In fact, I believe God, he gives us things because he knows they make us happy. So, you know, if you love baseball and you love the Philadelphia Phillies, then that's okay. If you love baseball and you love, I don't know why you would love them, but you love the New York Yankees. They're in the American League. If you love baseball and you love the New York Mets, or the Cleveland Indians, we have to be politically correct. The Cleveland Guardians. Oh, wait, we're not live streaming. The Indians. And if you want to be a fan of them, by all means, be a fan of them. Enjoy the games. You know, football, the Eagles, the Bills, the Steelers, the Giants, whoever you're a fan, the Dolphins. You know, enjoy those things, right? But here's what the verse says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So what does that mean? Well, when you read that verse and you get it in its context, and that's what we were talking about Wednesday night, what it means is that you love not the world, that those things, those hobbies, those likes, they do not supersede. They do not take the place. They do not take the priority. They do not take the preeminence of Jesus. They do not take the preeminence of God and the things of God. I remember years ago, we used to get free. This was back, and we got the free tickets because they stunk and they couldn't fill out the stadium. At the time, it was Veterans Stadium before Citizens Bank Park opened in Philly. And so every year for school and other things, we'd get free tickets to Philly's home games. Well, without fail, all those free games, they were either on a Wednesday or a Sunday. And well, as a young kid, I had to make, or a teenager or a young adult, I had a decision to make on a Wednesday night. Was I going to a Phillies game or was I going to church? Well, I chose church, mainly because they stunk, But spiritually, I like to say it's because I love Jesus. But it's probably because they stunk. And I wanted to be with my friends. But, and then I remember in high school, ninth grade, as soon as I got the ninth grade, I got my working papers to get my first job. And my first job was at a GameStop. And I went in for the interview, and the manager asked me, he said, well, are there any days you can't work? And I said, well, the only day I can't work is Sundays because I have to go to church. And he said, okay, that's fine. We have plenty of people for Sundays. And then, so I got that job. And then in between the time I got the job and the time I started the job, the GameStop I got hired at, they changed managers. And apparently there was no communication between the outgoing manager and the incoming manager. So the incoming manager had no idea and no clue regarding people's availability for the store. So he puts out the first schedule, and wouldn't you know it, my first day was scheduled on a Sunday during church. So I had a decision to make. And so I talked to my pastor, I talked to some guys in the church and said, well, what would you do? And you know, they gave the stereotypical classic answer. Well, you got to do what you feel the Lord's leading you to do. Well, gee, thanks. I was looking for some real advice here. And so I made the decision there as a, however old I was in ninth grade, 14 or 15 or 13 or whatever I was in ninth grade at the time. And I made the decision that, no, I was going to be in church on Sunday and, you know, whatever, let the chips fall where they may. And so I got scheduled one other time, and that was it. And so I called up and I said, you know, am I going to be scheduled anymore? And I said, oh, it was seasonal. That had to be the shortest seasonal job I ever had. One shift for 4 hours on a Saturday. And that was it. And then they had the nerve to mail me income tax papers. The stamp was going to cost more to mail it back to the IRS than whatever I was going to have to pay or whatever I was going to have to get back. So somewhere along the way, I owe the IRS like 35 cents from a job back when I was in ninth grade. But I made the decision that church was going to take the priority and that God was going to take the priority. And that's what the verse means. Love not the world. Don't put those things over the Lord. Don't put those things over Jesus. You know, the Bible points out weaknesses of the best. You think about David this afternoon. You think about Saul. But the Bible also points out the subtle strength of Satan as well. The Bible tells us that he's a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And make no mistake about it, he wants to devour you. But then also, the Bible, while also revealing the weaknesses and also while revealing the strengths, he also reveals that the one way to victory is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if we want to know those things, we have to study the Bible. We have to study God's Word. Fourthly, this afternoon, we ought to study the Bible to get a glimpse of our future home. You know, I don't know about you, but as a child of God, we ought to be interested in heaven. You know, one day, you and I, we're going to spend eternity together in heaven. So you know what? We better get used to each other now. Because one day we're going to be with each other forever, for all of eternity. And, you know, we ought to be interested in heaven because guess what? Christ is there. Our Savior is there. Hey, not only that, but we have loved ones who are in heaven. All those loved ones that they've passed on, they've gone ahead before us, and they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, they're there waiting for us. And one day we're going to see them again. and one day in heaven, all things will be made right. You know, we sing a song, how beautiful heaven must be, sweet land of the happy and free, how beautiful heaven must be. And so we ought to study the Bible, get a glimpse of heaven. And you know, by the way, what we have in the Bible about heaven, it but scratches the surface of what heaven is going to truly be like. Take your Bibles and go over there, if you would, Revelation. The book of Revelation this afternoon. And I didn't write down the chapter. I'll have to look it up and I'll send it out in a text message later. But here in Revelation, here we go, chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse number 1. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and in the gates 12 angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And just on and on and on it goes. But again, the description we have of heaven in the Word of God. Chapter 22, verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were the healing of the nations. And just on and on it goes. But even what we have in Scripture doesn't begin to fully describe what we have awaiting for us someday when we get to heaven. But we ought to study the Bible this afternoon to get a glimpse of heaven. And then fifthly and finally this afternoon, we ought to study the Bible so that we know how to help others. We ought to study the Bible so that we know how to help others. You know, this desire in our heart to help others, that is what indicates our change of heart and our change of life. The Bible tells us also, I believe it's James, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And you know, the Bible this afternoon, it shows us Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible shows us that. The Bible shows us, it reveals to us the hardness of men's heart. But then, oh, the Bible also this afternoon shows us the way to help others that are lost in sin. It helps us to show how to help others who are weak in life. And it's through Jesus, our Savior. And whatever help somebody might need, the Bible can show us just how to help that person. And so, yes, this afternoon we ought to study the Bible so that we know just how we ought to help others, how we can help others. And so this afternoon you say, I'm looking for help. Well, the Bible's like that sign that you sometimes see. This way for help. Because all help that we need comes from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And then James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We study the Bible for a simple reason this afternoon. Not just so we come to church and say, well, we heard the Word of God. But now so you can take the Word of God. And when you leave the church, you become a doer of the Word. You put it into practice. And you seek to be a help and a blessing to those who need it. You seek to win those to Christ who need Him as their Savior. And so you hear it this afternoon, you say, I need some help. Well, let me encourage you, just open your Bible and you'll find help. For whatever need it is, whatever station you're at in life, wherever it is you're in life, wherever it is you're at in your journey in life, you can find help along the way. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand together to our feet.